Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk, the podcast devoted to the CBS TV series Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is my very blue friend, Tim.
No, I really missed you last week.
Aw, buddy.
Yeah, Palmer was a lot of fun, but yeah. The dulcet tones of Frank have returned.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
So I'm not really so much blue, I'm really more brownish gold.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, he's depressed.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. It's good to be back. As usual, you guys did a fantastic job last week. I actually really enjoyed listening to
it. Thank you very much.
It's always a real trip to listen to, you know, our show, and I'm not on it.
Yeah.
It's always really funny and really weird.
I do think Palmer is serious, though. I really do think he is going to kill you.
I think you're right. I'm going witness protection that week.
That's good.
Witness protection all the way. I cannot be out in public and, you know, in a place where he can stop me. So
that's okay. Yeah. So
those are the links I'm going to go to for you, the listeners.
Yeah, well, as long as he doesn't launch any kind of nuclear missile at the city, I'm pretty happy.
Be really unfortunate.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
That would be a long way to go for very little gain.
Yeah. Do we have some emails?
Yes,
some
we do.
Letters,
yes, we do.
Some scrolls.
Yes, we do. We have some scrolls.
Oh,
some dispatches.
His Royal Highness. Yeah.
Yes. As usual, you guys really brought it this week with the emails over at supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. First, we've got one from John here who goes, even with Palmer as our pseudo Frank, still fun. I agree. Really fun.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling him pseudo Frank.
Frank. He'll love that. Then he'll have to kill me and just become plain old Frank.
Mm.
Here's the thing that bothers me about the whole who killed Asha plot line.
I really wanted him to be like, here's the thing that really bothered me about pseudo Frank.
He knows too much about comic books.
Not enough about Frank. Yeah.
Here's the thing that bothers me about the whole who killed Asha plot line. It isn't necessary. Jean has such a suite of powers that Asha didn't have to die. Just using the powers that have already been shown, when Asher was holding him, he could have gone intangible like he did when he went to Room 52,
right,
phased through her, and kicked her in the back of the head. Even if there's some limitation on phasing, we haven't been shown it yet, so expecting me to respect it is in this analysis unfair. Or he could shapeshift into something with tentacles or that doesn't have body parts where she was holding him.
Sorry, Jean's budget doesn't allow for that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way, while it was fun to watch Melissa Benoist play Jean playing Kara, a normal person would just have found a landline and gone, Miss Grant, I'm Kara's sister. She's quite ill and can't come into work this week.
None of these people think rationally. That's true. None of these people think like that.
Yeah, it's true. No, you can't see her. She's in isolation. I can't even see her. Yes, I'll make sure she gets a doctor's note. And he goes, it's the DEO. They have doctors on staff.
Yeah, they do. Maybe.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, clearly Jean is out of practice using his flush of powers. I've also felt that Jean/Hank goes out into the field more than he should, like you've been saying, Tim.
Yep.
Because he's trying to make sure that various aliens don't get quote-unquote accidentally killed, or to protect Alex. No evidence of that, but that's my in-head reason. That's what John says.
Hmm. Pretty good.
He also says regarding Kryptonese versus Kryptonian.
Yeah.
I know you want to say Kryptonian. Way back in the 50s and 60s, the language was Kryptonese.
I think we
might have covered that at some point in the past.
Yeah.
Well, he says Kryptonian was the adjective for things that originated or were styled after Krypton. So the language Kryptonese and things from Krypton were Kryptonian. And then he said that's probably something from the Mort Weisinger era. Later, maybe in the 80s, it shifted and the language became Kryptonian as well. So there is a mixed comics history of using both words depending on the era.
That's it. I'm familiar with the
80s. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But post-crisis era probably kept it up. So these guys have been reading comics for a long time. The show guys, that is. I like the nods to some of the older stuff. Anyway, and he signs it Footnote John.
John.
Thank you, Footnote John. Yes. Thank you very much.
Gave himself a nickname. I got to respect that.
Yes, exactly.
Not everybody can get away with that, but I think he really earned
it. Yeah, he pulled it off.
Thank you, Footnote John.
Yes, thank you very much, Footnote John. I'm going to read one more here from Steven. Steven goes,
it's like a little editor thing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
editor's note.
Oh, this is from the 50s and 60s. Footnote John.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I like it.
Like in comics themselves. Yes,
that's good.
Exactly, yes. Some things that I am wondering after watching last week's episode, how did Master Jailer capture Supergirl so easily in their second encounter?
He's the Master Jailer.
He's not just some amateur jailer. He's not the first day on the job. Not a rookie jailer.
Yeah,
he's the master jailer. Yeah, but he says that when we see a master jailer shoot Alex and the police officer, and then a flash of light, and then we cut to commercial, and then Supergirl's in a red cape. We didn't really see how that happened. Also, master jailer has a ship. Is he using it to capture Fort Ross prisoners? How long does he get in and out of the hiding spot? If he has a ship, where did it come from? Why not use it to leave Earth? Why hasn't master jailer gone after Non and Astra and the other criminals? When Supergirl is held in chains in the first encounter, how did master jailer anchor them down to where Supergirl can't break free? That is actually, I was confused about that too, watching, like, he's shooting chains at her like Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and then suddenly she's like, she has to melt the chains to be able to move away from that spot, and by the time she's done that, he's gone. I was kind of wondering that myself. What was she anchored to? What was she tied to? Because it looked like she was.
I assumed that they were, like, stuck in the building or something to the like of that.
Maybe, yeah. It just they didn't show it. So, yeah. They're a very possible.
Yeah, it's a little bit out of frame.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Anyway, he says, thank you. Keep up the good work, Steven. So, thank you, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you for writing in. Thank you for the good questions keeping us thinking. Thank you all for emailing in. Those were a couple of our favorite emails from this week. But if you have something to share, please do send it to us, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. So, I see Tim has his red notebook ready to go.
I do. I just have one thing to add from last week that please I forgot to do. Mention last
oh,
week.
Yes,
that it
yes.
was last week's episode was directed by Lexi Alexander.
Yes.
Who has directed a slew of a number of things, but in the comic realm, most famously, she directed the Love It or Hate It Punisher Warzone.
Yeah.
And so I was, I don't hate that movie, though it has been quite a while since I've seen it, so maybe my opinion has changed.
Sure.
But it's very gruesome and very all over the place, but
okay.
It does definitely have a visual, it has a visual flair. It's definitely, like, you remember it. And so I've seen other films from her that I actually quite like. They're quite good. So I was kind of happy to see her nice. Return, and I totally forgot to mention it last week.
Good footnote, Tim.
That was I can't. I'm more of an MLA guy. Yeah. So
me too, actually.
Sorry. Anyway, so I have my handy red notebook.
Yeah.
This is episode 15, Solitude.
Yes.
Premiering on Superman's birthday,
February 29th. Yes.
No mistake. I do not think this was an accident that they went to the Fortress of Solitude on Superman's birthday.
I think that's a very, very valid point.
Yeah. I actually would have really liked a Superman's birthday reference.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you done missed an opportunity that you're not going to get for another couple of years now.
that is true.
You know, like,
that is true.
You
happy birthday, Clark. Yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Like, happy birthday, Clark. Yeah. It just to be clear, if anyone's unaware, it's not the publication date. It's
no.
the, it's his, like, in canon birthday.
Yes. Correct.
February 29th. Yes. He's a leap baby.
He's a leap baby.
But anyway, there's a part of me that would have liked for the episode last week for the woman who has everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2 weeks ago.
For the girl who has everything. Yeah.
For the girl who has everything. Yeah. Did I say woman? Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
For the girl who has everything. Yep, I would have actually liked that episode on February 29th because for the man who has everything takes place on February 29th.
That's right.
Superman's birthday.
That's
the whole thing that it's a present.
Yes. Right. That's true. That would have been
a nice appropriation and shift.
It would have fit. Yeah.
Yeah. But we still done got the Fortress of Solitude. So
I'm not complaining.
Not complaining. Okay.
Hey, before we jump in,
yeah.
Before we jump in, I just wanna give a quick thank you to Supergirl.tv.
Oh yeah, tell me about them, eh?
You know about them. You told us about them last week.
Short-term
memory loss.
I don't remember what I did 5 minutes ago.
You're like Dory.
Yeah. I'll just keep going. Yeah. About 7 Dory quotes kind of like swam into my brain.
Fabio.
Yeah. And I just couldn't pick one.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You've got a minute to think about it.
I do.
While I tell them about Supergirl. TV, one of our wonderful sponsors, Supergirl.tv, is a great source for all of your Supergirl news and your spoilers and your videos and photos from upcoming episodes. It's a great place if you like seeing photos from new episodes as much as Tim and I do. It's the place that I personally love to go. It's my first stop for all the Supergirl news that I can find. They had some really cool stuff this past week with Indigo stuff. It's a really cool video of watching Laura Vandervoort get into the Indigo makeup that they had. That was really cool. So some really great, the best source really for all this kind of news, and we're very proud to have them sponsoring us. It's a labor of love by fans, so it's good. They just redesigned the site; it looks really nice. It's a great site all around. We love it, and we can't thank them enough for their support this week and every week of Supergirl TV Talk. So thank you to Supergirl.tv for your partnership.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
I think
yes.
I shall call this website my squishy, and it will be my squishy. It shall be mine.
Oh, there you go.
Cool.
Nice redesign.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Really. They just actually there's a Flash Supergirl combined. design logo.
Yeah, the wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
World's
that.
Finest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be my squish.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so we open up with a Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Which we have actually yet to really see into the Phantom Zone in this world. I always like different interpretations of these things. You know, we have the classic cube, you know, plate of glass. Like, I'm stuck in a glass case of emotion. we have that one. And we have the Smallville one that's like, I'm in Mad Max. No, wait, I'm in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It is Mad Max, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in a gray-toned Mad Max. Yeah, that's...
For real.
Now we have this one. Well, we didn't really get one in Man of Steel. They like went into
we didn't see them get out of it. Yeah, we didn't see what it's like when they're in there. It just kind of like looked like they were just being like the transporter beam.
Yeah,
or something.
they're in the pods that go into the ship, and the ship goes into this very expensive prison.
Yes,
if you think about it,
it really is. Yeah. They're really invested in.
I mean, at least
maximum security.
Yeah, the Richard Donner one is like, let's just get some glass. Yeah. You know, that one's cheap. You
Everything
know?
Else on our planet is crystal. Let's put them in one.
It's like everything's crystal, but this one is flat.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why it's not as fun.
Let's spaghettiize them.
Yeah. Anyway, let's make a pizza out of them. That's really flatten them out. Yeah. Anyway, spending too much time on that.
And that's into the podcast.
I'm on my second sentence. Yeah. I done got pages to read, son.
Pages and pages.
So we see Indigo's symbol, not knowing that it's Indigo's symbol, presumably that pop up on the screen. And I saw that, and I was watching with Palmer, as we do every week, and I was like, that's Brainiac's symbol.
Yeah,
of course, being an idiot and not realizing that Indigo and Brainiac 8 are the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I missed that issue in the comics somewhere along the way.
I missed that day of comic book school.
Yeah, I missed that day. And so there's so many comic books. It's very difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with Indigo either. I mean, I knew the name, but I wasn't actually familiar with the character
and
herself.
I've definitely read comics with Indigo in it, but she is really referred to as Indigo and not Brainiac 8.
Right.
And so, and I just missed the Teen Titans issues where it is revealed she's Brainiac 8 and all this big stuff. So it's fine. It's all good. But it was a nice reveal.
It was.
Because in my notes, I'm like, Indigo is definitely Brainiac 8. And then all the way down, it's like, you know, like, oh, I'm calling myself Indigo now instead of Brainiac 8. I was
Yes. I called it.
I did. So we see how Kara and Fort Ross gets out of the Phantom Zone. Led to that.
Uh-huh.
And we get to wake up to Kara in bed with some super cool pajamas.
Super
comfy.
Yeah.
And Alex shows up with the greasiest box of donuts I've ever seen.
Like, gross.
Yeah.
Like, actually not appetizing anymore.
Right. Like, I was like, wow, that's a lot of grease on that box. Like, you've been holding that for a while.
Yeah.
That was on the prop table for a good enough chunk of time that box is greasy.
That come from craft services, be honest.
Yeah. Well, at least those donuts might probably be real in that scene. Those are not fake prop donuts.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, I think she eats one, so hope it's not a fake prop
donut. I should hope.
Yeah. So Kara says she wants to be her own Supergirl. She's done with the DEO.
Like
she's like, I want to be my own Supergirl.
I like that line a lot.
Yeah, I do too. That's all I have to say on that, because we know this doesn't last.
Stronger together.
Right, exactly. And so she shows up for work. She's like, oh my God, I'm so late for work. Let me trot over to the bench. Did you notice that? I was like, you have super speed.
Like, seriously.
You never, like, you're late, like, is not everybody else's late.
Yeah.
Which is so, like.
You could leave your home at when you should be getting to work and still be on time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And she's like, nope, I gotta trot over this way.
It reminds me, there's like an old YouTube video that I remember seeing, like, in college, like, a viral video. And this guy was pointing out how the Friends theme song second verse has a thing about waking up late for work or whatever.
Work begins at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You breakfast, like, you burned your breakfast, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, who's late for work? And he's like, oh no, I'm late. Where's the skillet? Like, like, who makes breakfast when they're late for
that's
work?
That's so true.
And that's essentially what Kara was doing.
That's
like,
that's absolutely
I'm late for work. I'm just going to saunter into the bedroom.
Might as well get ready. Although I have been late for work, actually. Like, I've woken up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm late.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm already late, you know.
What am I going to do now?
Yeah, right. I'm late enough that it doesn't actually matter anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe it was that. Maybe, you know, maybe. Like, I'm so late that it doesn't matter. Although, my boss is not Cat Grant.
That is
so
true.
And I'm not trying to, like, be better than Siobhan.
Right.
So, who has a strange little arc. Not a strange little arc, but, you know, she got a bit of an arc in this episode. But that does not, at the beginning, let Kara stop the feelings of wanting to throw her into space.
This is true.
You know I could throw her into space.
I think about that.
I enjoyed that a lot.
I did too.
If we did Kara Coach of the Week, that would be my...
You know, when that happened, I was like, did Kara just have the Cat Grant Coach of the Week?
Yeah, I know. And then she
did. As it turned out, she did not.
Because Kat had about 7 of them in a row.
Like but she does.
Yeah, like she does. But we get this, so the flash drive, you know, she's, you know, like, Siobhan's like, oh, I've got this package and I'm not going to open it. And James is like, maybe you should open it. She's like, psh, I'm not going to open it. Psh, you'll see. And then Kat's like, why didn't you open it? It could be anthrax. And my first thought was, no one sends anthrax anymore, Kat. Get with the program. Yeah. That was so 2003.
Come on.
Actually, when was anthrax a big deal?
It was around that time, yeah.
Yeah, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Years. Just blend together.
Many years, yes.
Yeah, so, but that, she made one mistake. That was the mistake.
Yes.
And now she's
now
that's
she's
it.
On the outs.
She's on the outs. That's all it is. I wonder what Kara's first mistake was, because she was already on the outs by the time we meet them in the pilot. I wonder what that first mistake was, because she had to have impressed Kat in enough of a way to get the job in the first place.
Yes, that's true. Well, I mean, I remember that one of the first things from the pilot was like, here's your latte and it's hot. And she's like, that's new and different. So maybe it's something about her latte.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Could be any number of things.
I don't know. But anyway, this drive is, you know, it's you know, secrets of adultery,
you know, all these
people. And we learn, we know Kat has integrity for a lot of things, but this is something that's like, no, this is not news. This is a privacy matter and all those things. And she refuses to not publish it.
Yeah.
And I was really proud of this fictional character because that's it sells so easily.
Sure.
Like,
she has some journalistic integrity. She's not going for the easy clickbait win. She's like, no, let's tell like an actual story. Let's find an actual news story and tell that.
Right. I really appreciated Kat in that moment. And I always have moments in every episode where I appreciate Kat.
Yeah.
But that was one, maybe necessarily just from an objective journalistic standpoint. Mm. Like, that was the right thing to do. And you can see in that moment, you understand why people work for her. And it's not just because she's Cat Grant, or, you know, it's a job, or they still work there despite the fact that she is scary or all these things. But she has this moral center of, you know, high journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. So we get a DEO fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in a little training sesh in the new octagonal room.
Right. With the kryptonite turned off.
Yeah. Okay. But here's my question. She's sparring with John.
Okay.
Who is as strong as Superman.
Right.
If not stronger.
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, I'm throwing punches. So I'm wondering if that room dulls
him in some way.
In some way. I mean,
I didn't see fire.
That was not orange light coming out.
No orange light.
But at the same time, like, they're going and fighting and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he just pins her to the wall and turns into the Martian Manhunter. And he's like, next time you want to fight, let's just get coffee.
Yeah, I think I had exactly the same thought.
Next time you want to talk to me, let's get coffee.
Next
time you want to fight, let's get coffee. That doesn't make much sense.
Coffee fight.
Does it? Yeah.
I'll just throw it at you.
It burns.
It'll hurt. I had exactly the same thought. I was like, that's a hell of a sparring partner. He's way overpowered. Like, he's way out of your league. I'm not really sure. So maybe that didn't occur to me. Maybe the room dulls his power. I kind of personally doubt it, but I respect that as headcanon if that works for you.
I thought maybe he was just holding back.
I took it more that he was holding back, but it just seems a little implausible he could hold back quite that much.
Well, he wasn't really. If you watch there, I went back and watched it.
Okay.
He's not really going after her.
Okay.
She's kind of coming after him, and he's on the defensive. And so,
okay, so he's
just
because
he's
back.
Strong doesn't mean he's dense. Those are two different things, and so it's not necessarily like punching a brick wall.
Yeah,
like, you can punch somebody who has a lot of muscle and it's not going to break your hand.
Sure.
You know, it's just, you know, that. So I think that's kind of the
difference. Yeah.
But it doesn't stop him from putting her up against the wall and being like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
But at this moment, I was reminded, even though it was kind of offhanded line, I was kind of reminded again how much of a tragic figure John is.
Yeah.
Because he seems selfless in this, you know, like, taking the blame. Like, we'll just continue to say that I killed Astra and not, you know, Alex and all this stuff. But he doesn't mind losing a friend.
Yeah, it's true.
One of the only people on the planet that knows his secret, that knows where he comes from, someone that he cares about and promised to protect, and all of these different things. And he's like, yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a terrible way to live.
Yeah, it is. It is. And but he's like a martyr in that way. You know, he's just like the always suffering, like, oh yeah, you know, everything is terrible in my life anyway, so I might as well pile that on too. It's kind of his attitude.
Right.
It's kind of pathetic. He's kind of a pathetic character in that sense.
He's pathetic because you can just pile on whatever yeah. you want on top of
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, he sees that as his role.
Yeah. He it is his job to bear the world on his shoulders.
Yes. It's kind of like Eeyore.
He's a little bit like, hi, John, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Today is Monday. Let's get coffee. Oh, no. There's an alien.
Right.
That's sad.
It's good.
Is that what Eeyore sounds like? I don't even know.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. It's pretty okay. close. Yeah.
All right. That's all well and fine. You know, Kara has said that she's not going to be with the DEO and all that.
Sure.
That's all nonsense. And boom, we get Indigo on the screen talking to mm-hmm. the Catco, being like, hey, you didn't publish that thing that I sent you, so now you're going to pay for reasons. And I was like, okay, cool.
For reasons.
Reasons. Yeah. 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 Like, you could have published it, you know, Indigo.
Bloggers are a thing.
Yeah. I think it gets out there a lot faster for yeah, a major absolutely. News
yeah.
thing. And it's a good introduction to the character. And it's so funny because I was looking at this. I wrote, again, before she announces herself as Brainiac 8, I was like, oh, so Indigo is going to be like Kara's Brainiac. Like,
yeah,
that's the
yeah.
thing. Oh, and she's like a cyber terrorist. That's like, okay, what a great yeah. idea. And all this stuff. The symbol makes sense now.
Yeah.
I'm like, God. 2 seconds on the internet. It would have taken me 2 seconds on the
really,
internet.
Yeah, me too. Me
yeah.
too.
And I'm a comic fan. I read so many
yeah.
that it's probably unhealthy. And I should pick up other things to read. But just
yeah,
I'm like ashamed of myself, you know, like this was the thing that I brought to the table, and I just
listen,
we went hungry that day.
Yeah.
You know, just
it's okay.
Yeah,
you made one slip up, it's okay.
Yeah,
we'll let it go. But you know, if you're not good, then we'll just have Palmer replace you. And
Palmer didn't know either, so oh, that's well, yeah. And he runs a comic book store.
That's true.
Like, that's his job.
Yeah,
whatever.
It literally is what he brings to the table.
It is literally what he brings
it's
to the table.
It's how he puts food on the table.
Yeah. I thought the Indigo cyber terrorist thing so topical. What a topical
yo, very much
villain
so.
That what they've given, because we've got stuff like the master jailer, who's really more like the, you know, deputy jailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like first day on the job
jailer in training.
Yeah, right.
But you're right.
The criminal justice jailer major, you know, like the jailer major.
Dun dun.
Minor and looking cool. Like
minor and cool helmets. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, the Indigo, the cyber terrorism story really does kind of, it resonates, because we had the Ashley Madison hack a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And this was clearly like ripped from those headlines.
Yep.
So
dun dun
dun dun.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And so Kat puts Win on the mission.
Yeah.
You know, you fix this, you yeah. know, blah, blah, blah. And I did like his line quite a bit, where he's like, I like this. I liked it better when she didn't know my name.
Yeah.
I liked it better when she didn't know who I was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll say it. I was going to bear this. Is not my Cat Grant quote of the week, but okay. I was close to you, Toyman Jr.
Toyman yeah, Jr. I know.
Like, that was like, yeah.
Scar.
Yeah. You're the computer expert. Fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's, see, the integrity part, Kat, that integrity part.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like you, Hannibal Lecter Jr.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, yeah.
All right. Way to cut to the core there.
Yeah, no yeah. kidding. You know, but that's okay. So Wynn is on the job, and when we see him on the job in Kara's apartment, he has every single Surface Pro that there is in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Why
yes.
does he have so many Pros?
I don't.
Like, why are all of them necessary? Like, they must have, like, one must have been James, and one must have been Kara's. And
sure, we'll go with that.
I mean, granted, I also have two tablets and two laptops, but still.
Yeah, but it's like, know, you've got like a work
one,
laptop.
Yeah,
and
one,
a, you know, like...
two, a one, one, one iPad, and the one computer is for work,
yeah.
and the personal use that yeah. I didn't know that I was getting when I had this job where they gave me these lovely things.
Right, but here he's got like this control room with like...
He's got a control room.
Yeah.
He's not even using
no.
his own control room in Catco.
Right.
That's what you have this room for, and you're using Kara's apartment Like, how does that make any sense? Like, you have a whole reason to actually use your big fancy setup, and you're like, no, I got my Surface Pros, I'm good.
You know, it's because Microsoft is a very generous sponsor.
Yeah, they are, actually. They are a very generous sponsor. Thank you, Microsoft, for sponsoring Supergirl. Can I get my Surface Pro now?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I actually have a Windows computer. I do like it quite a bit. So we have Indigo finding, like, going, talking to Wynn through the computer and being like, oh, hey, and then I'm just going to pixelate out of this screen.
Yeah.
It was a cool effect,
Really cool effect, yeah.
I mean, we've seen people come out of screens before, you know, the girl from The Ring.
Yep.
And The Ring 2, I don't know.
But this was, like, the coolest.
I really liked this idea. Yeah. Like, we've seen people, like, digitize themselves and, you know, like Galaxy Quest. Digitize me, Fred, you know, whatever. But I did like this. Like, I'm curious what her body is actually made up of if she can do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the question with Brainiac, too, with Kaluans in general. It's sort of like, are you just a computer system, or are you a robot that's running that computer system, or are you an alien?
You're a sentient. Are you flesh and blood of some kind?
Yeah, right.
Were you flesh and blood, and you went through so many procedures that now you are
more machine now than man.
Yeah. And she is twisted and evil.
I've always had that question, because it seems like every incarnation they're different. Like Brainiac 5 tends to be a flesh and blood,
right,
you know, Kaluan. Makes me want Kalua. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, there seems to be some discrepancy there, but it depends on the adaptation that we're reading or watching. So
yeah, I like it, and I actually want to bring that attention to her makeup on top of that is really cool looking.
Yeah.
She has like, it's this fun metallic sheen, and she's got ridges, for lack of a better word. You know, she's got lines to accentuate maybe she's plated or something like that. Like, it's not quite like it's synthesized flesh.
It's
cool. I actually still not quite sure why she has part of her hair braided. That I thought was an odd choice.
I agree. It's also, why is she blue when Brainiac is usually green and they're the same?
Because her name is Indigo.
Yeah. Okay, but is it her name is Indigo because she's blue, or is she blue because her name is, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. Did the chicken come before the egg? I'm not quite sure.
No, but
we could call Judd Winnick and ask him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, smartass. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Other Kaluans are green.
I know they
and
are.
She's blue. Yes, I know her name is Indigo.
Yeah, but have you ever seen a girl Kaluan before? Maybe the girls are blue.
Trying to remember?
The guys are green.
Maybe. We'll go with that.
I'm going to go with that.
Someone write in if you know.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
I can go with that.
I mean, she in the comics is kind of like this off teal color.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is what looked good on television with makeup tests and lighting tests, and some colors just don't translate on screen the same way.
Yeah,
I mean, the red carpet is really pink, people. I mean, that's just the way that cameras work. So quite a shock. You see it in real life. You're like, whoa, am I in the right place?
It's kind of a different hue. Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're looking for the red carpet. This one's rather more of a rose, and I don't think that I'm in the right place. I mean, Brad Pitt's right over there, but he also could be just here for an adoption, and that's why all these other people are here. So
very likely, yes.
I just don't know.
He's adopting everyone here.
He could be.
Everyone get in the car.
He's a very generous man.
He is.
He could be.
Yeah.
I like Brad Pitt. Not crapping on Brad Pitt. I like him quite a bit. And so... So I thought she looked good, but I did think it was odd that Indigo, like, you know, Jean and or Hank and Alex showed up, and she's like, oh, people with guns, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You have Supergirl in the room, and she's like, oh no, the DEO, I gotta get out of here. They kicked in the door.
Must run.
I can't stop that kind of power. Alex, why don't you have a key? You know, I'm telling you, we have not seen Alex enter with a key. She did enter with the donuts. No, she didn't.
Kara let her in.
Open the door. She doesn't have a key. She kicks in the door every time. Yeah.
The donuts are her key.
Oh, yeah. That's how she gets in every time.
Food is always pizza or donuts.
Always. There's always.
Or pot stickers or something every time.
It's the way to Kara's heart.
That's it.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, if I had the physiology of a Kryptonian, that'd probably be the way to my heart, too. Oh, who am I kidding? Food's the way to my heart
now.
Yeah,
it is.
So
way to almost everybody's heart.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, there are very few people in the world who are like, oh no, I'm sorry, I won't accept your generous offering of food.
Of delicious food.
Yeah,
no,
right. I despise eating. just give me salted ice cubes and I'll be fine.
Yes,
thank you.
I live on that.
Yeah, and a glass of air.
Nothing like air in a glass.
No, so
tastes better.
It does. Mm. So we get the clue and name drop, which I about a bit way through this episode when Nan shows up, and they have a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtext that isn't really subtext.
Yeah, there's
definitely a. So we used to do it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we used to do it, and then I met my wife, and then so we stopped doing it because she was special and stuff. But now that she's dead, I guess maybe we could do it again.
Yeah
I'm like, God, Nan, like, or like, Rao, Nan, get yourself together. Yeah,
great Rao,
get yourself together, man.
Yeah,
yeah. I know you're grieving, but still,
yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Brainiac 8. Woo. Yeah.
Good reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
Exciting reference.
So it was a very pointed and interesting conversation.
It was, yes.
What do you think about stuff?
I had exactly the same. What do I think about stuff? I had the exact same reaction. I was like, wait, is there some? Oh yeah. No, there's something happened there.
Yeah.
Something happened with these two. And then really, we didn't get that again when they talked again by the end of near the end of the episode.
When he talked to her decapitated head.
Exactly. Yeah. It was much more, it was much less playful and much more like, I have your head now.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
do
was
what
rather
I
in pieces.
This is true.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it was a very different attitude.
He was not afraid of her anymore.
He was not.
I think there was a level. They say that she is the most dangerous when they go to the fort. She is the most dangerous.
He had conquered at that point.
Yeah. She is the most dangerous prisoner Fort Ra has ever had. And that's probably saying quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think that Lar Vandervoort really brought that to the character. She was rather ruthless.
She was intimidating.
She was intimidating, kind of scary. Mm-hmm. She's not a tall person either, so
not particularly,
you know, so to be able to be that intimidating at, you know, she's not 6'6",
right,
you know, and so she used her size to her different advantage, and it was really well done.
She plus had a presence,
plus she had that cool gauntlet thing. Stab you in the face gauntlet.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I love Laura Vandervoort. I've loved her since she was on Smallville. Mm-hmm. I have a huge TV crush on her.
I know you do.
Huge TV
actually,
crush on her.
Yeah,
so yeah, I was really excited when they announced she was going to be on, and I thought she killed it.
TV crushes on the Supergirls.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's you and me.
Yeah. My crush isn't that big. I can get over it. Now that her husband's not on the show anymore. Like, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. It's all good.
It's all good in the hood. Cool name drop. We also have a little bit of information about what Myriad possibly is, where it was it was Astra's goal for humans and Kryptonians to live together in harmony.
Interesting.
We don't exactly know how that was going to be accomplished. What are your theories? Do you have any?
I don't have any theories on how I thought it was going to be accomplished. I remember if it was you and I or you and Palmer who said that maybe Myriad was Brainiac.
I said that.
You said it either way. I don't remember who you said it to.
I might have said that last week.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, I still don't know what I did five. Well, I know I did 5 minutes ago. We were still talking about Supergirl, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I remember you had that theory either way. And at the time I was like, yeah, maybe that's like the code name for Brainiac, you know, but clearly that's not the case anymore.
Right.
So what was it? I don't know. And the way that Nan wants to implement it clearly is not a, you know, hands across the sea, let's all live in harmony type of thing. It's definitely it's more along the lines of world domination, it sounds like, than let's all coexist, or, you know, it's more of a, you can be our slaves.
That's not
humans.
That's really not harmony, though.
Well, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like he's after harmony.
No. But I get it now. So his version.
His version doesn't sound like
for a couple seconds. So,
that's fine.
Yeah.
It sounds like her version was more harmonious, and his is more like, we will take over dirty, filthy, lowly humans.
I agree. And the only reason that he respected her authority is because
he respected his wife.
He respected his wife. She was the general, but now he's the general now.
Right.
So
it's a new sheriff in town.
Anyway, Siobhan becomes more human, I think, in this episode. You know, she's a little not one note, but she's one dimensional as to we've met her at this time.
Yep.
There's nothing beyond her drive, you know.
Yes.
I will be the best. I will be the next Cat Grant. I will do this. But now we're getting a little bit into, here are my reasons.
Yeah, her motivation is what makes her her.
That's right. So I thought she is still, again, she's a lot like Cat.
Agreed.
In maybe more ways than she even knows. Like Kat, she has a lot of layers.
Yes.
Or what I thought as maybe, or she's a big fat liar, you know.
Or that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know whether I believe her, everything she told to win. I don't know if I believe that or not. I have no reason not to, really, but you don't know what she's after.
She doesn't take setbacks very well, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, she'd done one screwed up with Kat, and she's off like, I don't, like, this is just terrible. I've had photocopying woes many times in my life, and her reaction is pretty on point.
That is true.
Yeah.
I think she was upset there, not just because she screwed up and she was on the outs, Kat, but also because her dad, her history with her dad.
Right.
And how this reminded her of her dad. That she was feeling vulnerable. I think it had to do with that as well, and that's why she volunteered that to Wynn at that moment, because that was what was on her mind.
Right. Wynn is an interesting choice for her to volunteer that information to.
Yeah.
Though he really is the only one that has stood up to her in some way.
That is true. But he's also, like, let's say, what if she knows either who Kara actually is, or or she knows there's something up with Kara, even if it's just a workplace thing and she wants to get to Kara somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn is probably the weakest link in that chain.
Yeah, James isn't going to crack the same way that Wynn probably will.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that, you know, if her motivation is to try to get at Kara and tell these lies and stuff like that, Wynn is the one to go through.
I'm going to go with Big Fat Liar. Big Fat Liar, but really skinny fat liar.
Really pretty skinny fat liar.
Yeah, totally have a crush on her, right? Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty. I don't have a huge crush. I mean, not a Laura Vandervoort size crush, but
yeah.
But yeah, she's very pretty.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we called it. Wynn is back at the DEO doing some work.
Seriously.
Because Alex basically came in and said, everyone at the DEO is incompetent and we need Wynn.
Yeah, only Wynn can crack our Python 6 encryption.
Right, except for that one new lady who's continuing to pull her weight in the DEO.
Right.
Yeah.
But I find it so, like, you had to go to this, like, corporation and, like, where your sister works and get their IT guy, and he's better than your, like, experts at this extra secret government agency. Like, seriously? No wonder Henshaw is going on all the missions. Like, they're understaffed, or they don't have...
Right. Everyone sucks. Too secretive. No one even wants to be part of it in the government. Yeah.
Everyone there sucks.
Yeah. Except for that one new lady who's helpful now.
Except for her.
Yeah. I will find out her name. I will find her. So Akara this whole time is like, oh my god, where can we go to learn about Brainiac 8? Because I don't want to go to the DEO to ask Holomom.
I
want
to talk to my space mom.
Right, I want to talk to my space mom, so I've got to find something else. And James is like, oh my god, go to the Ice Palace from Die Another Day. Let's go. I mean, the Fortress of Solitude.
I mean, that one,
That's not what I thought it looked like, nor...
Not really, no.
Am I comparing? I mean, they're ice palaces.
But that's where the similarities kind of end.
Yeah, so I have not been as jazzed about something on this show, maybe since John Jones.
Yeah, same.
That reveal. And I mean, I knew the Fortress was coming.
Yeah,
that wasn't a shock to me. But here are the things that shocked me, if you will.
Okay.
One, we got the Dwarf Star Key.
Yes.
That made it.
That made me so happy.
I didn't care if the rest of it was crap. I was like, but there's a million ton.
Yeah,
million ton key that he leaves aside, and she even says he just leaves his key
under the doormat,
the snow. Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, it's made out of dwarf matter, and you know, it weighs a million tons. So, and she picked it up like no problem,
right?
And I was like, how strong are the other people that she fights if she just picked up a million tons?
That is very true.
Isn't that
a very good point?
You know what I mean? Like, I understand that, like, that is the comic reference, the dwarf star and the million.
Absolutely.
And all that stuff.
Absolutely.
But like, you're really strong.
Yeah. It puts it in perspective. I mean, it shows how strong the others are. Like, that if she can lift a million tons easily, it shows how strong her opponents are.
Yeah, sorry. I made a face, but I'm like, I quoted something and I wasn't sure what I quoted. I quoted Hercules.
Hercules.
Gee, mister, you're really strong. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
I love that reference. That made me so happy. Like, I was just giddy as a little cool girl when that was happening. I was like, yeah, it's the fortress. Nah, it's the key.
Yeah, it's the key. And I mean, that was just so fun. It's just fun. And I wonder how many people, regular non-comic reader, like, if you don't know that's a thing.
I'm going to say not a lot of people get that if they're not. Like, that is like, oh, okay. Apparently, Superman's fortress has this really big key. Okay.
Right. How many people do you lose? And you're like, no, that's dumb.
Maybe a fair number.
You know, but I mean, at this point, whatever. You know, you're either in or you're not, I think, at this point. But the fortress did not actually look what I thought it was going to be, because when you see those photos, the one that they released,
yeah,
it looks like crystals. It looks like the Donner Fortress, and it's not
really
at all.
No,
it's classic ice Fortress of Solitude. Typically, for those those of you who don't, like, Superman has this Fortress of Solitude, whatever, that it's this ghetto Arctic getaway, because it's usually so cold there that why would you venture out there? It's very... Mm-hmm.
It's hidden,
right. But in the Richard Donner films, there was the crystal technology from Krypton, and that's what created the fortress. So it kind of blended all together, and that's what became the Superman staple for the Fortress of Solitude for so long, including even on Smallville and all that stuff. And
even bled into the comics for a little while.
Yeah, it did. And but there are other mediums in which it didn't. There are the animated series. It was not It was not. It's Man of Steel. It was not because they didn't use crystal technology. It was the ship. That went away now. But he had it for a little while. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. But I like this. Was just class. It was just. It was forced out of ice. Like he made it himself.
Yes.
Like no special technology helped him. Yeah. He created this. Mm-hmm. You know, when it had the giant globe with the
with like a Jor-El and Lara holding up
the
globe of Krypton.
The globe of Krypton, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then we got a bunch of super cool stuff in it. We got Kal-El again.
Yes, we did.
Which really surprised me.
Me too. Pleasantly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a nice, like, oh, you're here again, and you look just as good as you did. And for the girl who had everything.
So good.
Yeah. Looks really well done.
Yeah. Kal-El is one of those like very nerdy details. There were a lot of nerdy details in the fortress.
Yeah. Before we get into the nerdy detail, James makes a point that Supergirl is faster than Superman.
He does say that. I thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
I want to tie it into the rest of the episode, but I did think it was a tidbit because there are mentions in comics where people say like, oh, she might actually be stronger than
Superman. There's that question is raised and that references are made to that.
Yeah.
Often.
Which is maybe why she doesn't have a problem picking up the key, you know.
Could be.
And all that stuff. But she also is presumably, she must weigh less than Superman, presumably.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe his own weight slows him down. You don't really ever talk about it that way.
Okay.
But Superman is generally bulky. He is of like, so if you're looking at, let's just say Henry Cavill, like you're looking at the Henry Cavill size, he's about 220 some odd.
Okay.
He's not going to move as quickly as somebody who weighs, well, even less than 200 pounds, that is. I think that's, well, even if she weighs like 110, like that's 100 pounds less.
Sure.
She's going to move faster.
Sure, sure.
I've never really thought about that before.
That's a good
objectively.
Point.
Like if you're a swimmer or something like that, if you have, you know, you're just, or even just a sprinter, like somebody who weighs 225 pounds is not going to sprint as fast as somebody who weighs 150 pounds.
And you'll have to work harder to move that fast.
That's right. That
Yeah,
it's very, you know, just if you think about the Olympics and people, you know, sprinters and all that stuff, like how big are they?
Yeah. So her, she's maybe more aerodynamic or whatever and able to move faster.
Yeah, though she doesn't take corners. She doesn't do turns as well.
That's true. Hard turns, sharp turns.
Yep. Like my driving. Not really. So what are the fun things in the fortress besides Kal-El? What else did you notice?
Well, I noticed a certain ring.
The Green Lantern ring with an L on it.
The L for lantern.
Yeah, right.
There was the Legion of Superheroes ring.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if... I didn't notice this until I was looking at Tumblr today, actually, but that shot of the ring...
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to spoil something from The Flash, from the last couple episodes of The Flash. So if you haven't seen The Flash, skip 30 seconds.
I did notice that, yeah.
It's the same shot.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same shot that we saw in the Earth 2 Part 1 episode of The Flash.
Traveling through the
two,
time,
3 episodes ago.
Tunnel, yeah.
It's the same exact shot that they showed us there. So that clearly was some synergy there where they had the shot of the ring from Supergirl and they stuck it in Flash.
That means you saw four different things in that tunnel originally.
Yeah.
On Flash. You saw her.
You saw the ring.
Which are both from Supergirl. Mm-hmm. You saw Connor Hawke from Legends.
Yep.
And you saw John Wesley Shipp as the Flash in the 90s.
That's
television,
right,
show.
Yes.
So those are four different things, but two of them take place out of that universe.
Yeah, that's right.
So curious where that... I wonder if then that Legion ring comes from a different universe. Like the Legion isn't from the future, but they're from another, like an alternate universe.
Or they
are from the future and they both exist parallel in the same
time.
Or maybe Flash and Supergirl do exist in the same world. It's all...
We'll know really soon. We'll know by the end of this month.
By the end of March, I'm not a huge fan of the Legion.
Me neither.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I've read stories I've liked, but overall... Me too. I'm going to jump up and down about the Legion.
Yeah, they're generally not my thing. I think there are so many of them, it's hard to keep track. It's like plopping somebody in the middle of the X-Men having never heard of any of them.
This is how I feel about the X-Men.
Yeah, there's just a little bit too many of them, but at least the X-Men's names are cool.
That's true. They don't end with Lad or Lass.
Right, yeah. What an interesting time. Yeah, they're just like, well, we're from the 31st century. We've kind of run out of all the cool superhero names.
So you're Cosmic...
Lad.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, we will. I actually have a lead superhero question for you later, but I'll get to it another time.
Hey, speaking of the Legion.
Yeah, tell me about the Legion.
Well, have you ever read, there's a really cool story about Supergirl and the Legion.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. And in fact, you can actually get that story, Supergirl and Legion of Superheroes, by Mark Waid.
Oh, yes.
And Tony Bedard.
I have read that.
Yeah, yeah. You can actually get that on InStockTrades.com, our sponsor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can get that book at InStockTrades. It's normally $14.99,
mm-hmm.
Which in itself is a really good value. I mean, you're talking about like five or six issues of good comic book by Mark Waid. Like that's mm-hmm. good stuff. But InStockTrades, you can get it for $8.69.
Quite a deal.
Yeah, it's 42% off because that's what they do. InStockTrades and DCB Service, 42% off. Sometimes even more. Like really, you often will get deals of like 70% off seasonally and that kind of thing.
Right.
But they're a really, really great source on the internet to get comics, whether it's a collected edition like that one or a weekly, you know, your weekly comics that you get week to week from DCB Service. Great places to do both of that. Save some cash. And in fact, if you like to read your comics digitally, you can also get 5% back when you go to DCBService.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give you a little kickback and you get 5% off on your next purchase whenever you buy your digital comics there. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of what they do and we thank them for sponsoring. It's InStockTrades.com or DCB Service, that's DiscountComicBookService.com.
Well, by Grapthar's hammer, what a savings.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I've been waiting like a minute to say it, like, but you didn't like what breathe in that time.
I don't breathe.
So I was like, I'll just wait. I hope it's so funny.
Like, it was.
I missed my
end. It was worth the wait.
Good.
So yeah, we saw the Legion ring. We saw, what else did we see?
We saw Kal-El's baby ship. We saw
the
ship that brought him to Earth. It looked suspiciously exactly like the one that brought Kara to Earth.
It did, didn't it?
It's almost like they left at the same time. But that
it's
was
almost like the same prop.
Yeah, that was a nice thing. And there was this little orange glowy thing in the middle on a pedestal.
Yes.
But it's a little unclear.
Yeah, what that was.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to return to the Fortress of Solitude soon? I'm saying yes, because that set looked expensive enough that they didn't use it for one episode.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Just from a logistical standpoint, we'll be making our return to the Fortress of Solitude. Because not only did you get the inside, you got the outside.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
I think we will see the inside for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be, wouldn't it be great if that's like a place she goes to often?
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's like one of her home bases, that'd be kind of cool.
Yep. Did you notice the establishing shots in this episode? There was a lot of sunrises and sunsets across National City.
Okay.
Which were, I pointed out a couple episodes ago, they're like, well, nice establishing shot.
Yeah,
they're looking
some
really
new
good
stuff. Yeah,
but the establishing shots or the wide shots of flying to the fortress were really nice.
Yeah,
really,
beautiful,
really nice,
beautiful stuff.
I love the shots where they very quickly fly in and out, like they don't linger on, like it's all CG.
Just
zooms around. But they're done well enough that it really gives you the sense of them flying more than just like, oh, here I am coming in for a landing. Oh, I'm leaving now. Goodbye. You know, like the Lois and Clark style.
Yes. No, it's you feel like you're following her along and it's less of like I'm coming in on wires and I'm gonna land now.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's less Barry Allen running into the room.
Yeah.
And actually seeing him run and zoom across the city. It's
right.
That same style. And I appreciate just that minor touch that maybe not might seem like a lot to other people, but it's enough for me to continue to be enraptured in the rest of the show. Indigo is part of the Brainiac clan, which I thought was interesting. You know, it's just the most dangerous for us. So there's quite a number of different Brainiacs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And so I wonder if we'll ever see any other Brainiac show up. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, there is a Legion ring, so there could be a Brainiac
there
5.
There could be a Brainiac 5.
And we know
Brainiac 8 traditionally is from the future. I don't think we're going to get that part.
Brainiac 5 from the future?
No, Brainiac 8 is also, she's sent back in time, killed, Troy in the comics, blah, 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 all that nonsense.
But I mean, we know Brainiac 5 is also from the future.
Right.
And there is a history in the comics between Brainiac 5 and Supergirl.
Yes.
So
there's potential.
Yeah.
There's actually an excellent Justice League Unlimited episode with Legion and Supergirl too. That if you want to check that out, if you want to know a little bit more, we can go in that direction. I have here just as a James needs to end it with Lucy. All he does is hurt her, and
all he does,
and we can get that when we get to the rest of the episode. But we get some Kryptonese writing in the DEO,
yep,
which is the classic Kryptonese writing or Kryptonian writing from the comics.
That's right. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. not the like the newfangled you know characters that we see there one to one correlation to the English alphabet.
Right.
It's yeah, the old fashioned one.
No, it is the one to one correlation with the alphabet. That was the text that they
it
showed. Was,
it wasn't. It wasn't the other one. That's more of a
no. It's the one to one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one that you could if you remembered what A yeah, through Z looked can, like you read, could read it. Yeah.
Okay. Thought it was the older one, but okay. I deferred to you.
Insight into my nerdiness.
Yes.
I could read it once upon a time.
I mean, there was a time when I could read it as well.
Yeah, was probably around, I think it was the
same time. We learned it around the same time. Yeah,
yeah, well, because
we were cool.
Cool. We were so cool. Why did we do that? I know why I did it. I don't remember why you did it.
I don't remember why we did it.
Why
did you?
We did it. Andrew, our friend Andrew and I did it because we sat next to one another in a class in college and it was so boring.
And you wanted to be able to like talk in code.
Yeah, and it was like before you could message one another or anything like that. So we would basically practice it and we would write really short messages, but it would just basically it would look like doodles to somebody who doesn't know what Kryptonian looks like. So, but that's how I learned it, just by not paying attention in class.
I want to say that
incidentally, I actually did really well in that class too.
Well, yeah. Win-win then.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I learned it because our friend Andrew wanted to communicate with me through that language too, yeah. So I learned it to be
able
there
was
to
talk. A whole thing. There was a font that we could download and we could type messages to one another on it, and like, God, we were so nerdy.
Such nerds.
Not like now when we're super cool podcasting about this super
doing our fake radio show about a TV show.
Oh man, it's lucky that we have more people in our lives besides the two of us.
I know
we're lucky people.
Oh yes.
So Indigo's big plan is to go and, you know, put the bomb and the this and the missile and all these things, and she does the grossest stretch thing. You know, she kills the guy, you have to turn the keys at the same time. She's like,
yeah, I know.
And she doesn't turn them at the same time. That bother you that they like showed her turning one and then it cut to her turning the other one.
Yeah,
and well, I know it was supposed to be at the same time.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But it showed it separately. Yeah.
Just do a two shot of her turning it, or just do a frame by frame like
right,
that,
yeah,
like the Ang Lee
like
Hulk movie, and just show her turning two. Was like it just that was like a little like that's annoying. That is so annoying.
Well, I thought it was funny the guy was like, let me tell you how to start the bomb. You have to turn both keys at the
God,
same
do
time.
Do you work for the DEO? Is that why you're sharing all this information?
Like, he was probably trying to save his own life. He was if I tell her this, she'll keep me alive because she'll need me to do it. But, like, wow, way to betray your country, dude.
Was, yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, and like, oh, you know, you're blue and you'll kill me anyway.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's just, I thought the missile stop was really cool.
It reminded me of Superman the movie. It reminded me of Smallville, where there was a nuclear silo and, like, the same thing happened.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that episode.
Yeah.
When he, like, jumps for the first time, right?
Not the first time, but yes.
Yeah. When he has control over the jump.
Okay,
the
first time. He like takes
not
off,
jump, but you know, like super jumps. Everyone who's not watched Smallville,
it's kind of the
like
second or third time he does that. Truthfully, but it's the first time he does from that big a distance.
Yeah, okay.
It's the biggest distance he had done so far.
Okay,
almost flight.
Oh yeah, almost flight.
Almost
flight. Yeah, because from that moment on, he used it a little bit more.
Yeah, he used it. There were other times after that.
Right. So
It's a Superman, you know, like thing to stop a bomb.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree. But what a great the CG, the intensity. Like, I know National City's not going to blow up. Objectively, I know they're not going to kill everybody in the city by a nuclear bomb. However, there was to know like how she's going to stop it and what she's going to do and like what the overall end game in the grand scheme, I guess, because it could end where she gets knocked out and they don't know where she is. Yeah. You don't know how the episode's going to end. I don't know what's coming next. So there's I even thought the wire work and the special effects were on top notch in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Really, really cool.
I have to say, I think that the choreography.
The budget was saved from last week.
That's probably true. I thought that just they really brought it to a whole new level this week in terms of CG, in terms of
every week
acrobatics.
They're getting a little better because I thought last week's choreography was really good, and so every week it's getting a little bit better. Not that it was really bad to begin with, but I think it grows as she grows as a fighter, as a flyer, as all these things.
I think that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also just sort of like economics of making a TV show, when all the sets are built and stuff like that, you spend less money on that and more money on the effects.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's also true. Now that they've stopped redesigning the Catco.
rearranging the desk, the deck furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how they all have IKEA desks, too. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. They're like cheap desks.
Yes. Classic Cat Grant, I say. Yeah. Spent all the money on all those TVs in her office.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can't watch all of them at the same time, Cat. Only Batman can do that.
That's true.
Yeah. Indigo is responsible for Kara's freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, I mean, kind of obvious from the beginning of the episode. You see the thing on her forehead. You're like, oh, that must be how you got out.
Right.
I'm happy.
I'm happy.
It was cool. I like that. I mean, it begs the question, how did she get out of Fort Ross?
Yeah.
I think it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Not important to me. That's how they got out. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that this win is actually Wynn's victory.
Yes, it is.
This is his computer virus that takes her biological artificial system down.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's cool. But either way, she pixelated into the red like a Nintendo villain. And then she, you know.
True.
Right. This is what happened. Yeah, she became red. She started blinking, you know. Dun, 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 dun.
Surprised she didn't turn into a coin at the end.
sweet coins.
I do wonder if that means she could possibly come back, because her pieces are all still
there. She definitely could come back, you know? With that scene with Nan, she's definitely not out. I think they spent probably too much designing her look and getting Lara Vandervoort and all that. She's not a one and done villain.
Hope not.
I think it's easy to say villains that have some kind of comics history, you will see more than once.
Yeah, it's safe to say.
Regardless of the show, whether it's this one or it's Flash or it's Arrow, chances are there's always a chance of seeing them again.
Always possible.
Yeah, unless they are flat out dead. And even then, they're probably going to be
probably
seen
not
again.
Really dead.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I say Siobhan has layers because she, you know, this time she, you know.
She lays one on Wynn.
She lays a couple on Wynn.
She does.
And possibly.
Possibly more than that.
Possibly more than that. Interesting. I still think she's a big fat liar and that she's using poor Wynn to her advantage. He's not going to like that.
I think so too.
Though in some ways, I think this is good for him. Does that make sense?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I think this might be helpful for him to maybe get over Kara in some way, which we haven't really looked at in a couple of episodes. But I think this could be good for him.
Maybe gives him a confidence boost. Like, oh, women do like me.
Yeah, until, you know, she's a big fat liar.
Until then.
But even then, you got to kiss. This is just a quick line. I liked Kara's, I kind of feel like Harry Potter playing Quidditch when she was trying to stop the
missile. Yeah, you like that, yeah.
I liked that little line. That was cute. Again, Kara might be taking the Grant quote of the week.
Uh-huh.
Kara is her own worst romantic enemy.
Oh my
right?
God.
You know,
she,
like,
she sabotages herself. All
you
the time.
Can just tell Lucy it's the good thing, it's the best thing to do for you. I love you and stuff, but you know what? Your happiness is more important than my happiness. She's very unromantic in that way.
Uh-huh.
But so James is all like, gonna fix things with my girlfriend that I really don't love. And Lucy's all like,
you told her
I'm
this
way
story.
Smarter than all of you. Yeah, you told her the super sensitive story that you've never told me, even though we've spent years together. And I'd be like, if that was me, I'd definitely leave that relationship. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I
can't
think of it.
I think Lucy's totally in the right, and James is kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And
like she had enough other things going for, like, to make a case for, like,
Last straw. Yeah.
Well, last big
straw.
Last straw.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I was not, Lucy and James are over. And I'm not totally upset about it, because I hope that Siobhan is not a big fat liar, and I'd like her to be with Wynn so you can have your Kara and James together, and everyone will be kind of happy.
For now.
Except for Alex, who will still be alone.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
She's married to her job.
She is. Speaking of Alex and her job, she confesses to Kara.
She does.
Which I thought was a really, really well done scene.
Powerful acting from Kyler Lee. Like, wow.
Wow. The whole thing, really well done. Even Hank's, like, his hesitancy and his body language in that, there was like this movement where the backwards and forwards, and I'm not comfortable and I want to be, but we're not in this place yet. And he says it all with his shoulders really more than anything else. And Kyler Lee just let it rip. She's been holding on to a lot.
Wow.
And I think her tears maybe are more than just, they're more than just, you know, I killed Astra. Mm-hmm. You know, she's holding on to a lot. And I really did think Kara was going to walk away for a bit. And then I remember that she was probably binging Fuller House, and every episode ends with a hug, and that's how she knew this episode had to end.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't sing the Flintstones theme song, but whatever.
No. You're not binging Fuller House? You know, the Flintstones theme song. Get out of here. Get out of here.
They did it.
Oh my God, they did.
They did it.
Me and Flintstones. Around the baby. Yeah, that episode's coming later with James.
Hey, yo.
Or Siobhan. Who knows? Not with Alec or Hank solo. Why don't we ship them? Why doesn't that happen?
What, Hank and Alex?
Yeah, John Licks.
What would those babies look like?
Green.
Isn't it weird that, like, we think it's okay for, like, Kara and James? Like, oh, because they both look like humans. But the second that one of them doesn't look humanoid, it's like, that's weird.
Yeah, as soon as I said John, your face kind of went,
ugh. I was like, well, actually.
Yeah.
I actually almost said, but he's he's an alien.
Yeah. And you're here like James and Kara. Yeah, exactly. James and Kara. Yeah. You're weird.
K-R-Y-P-T-O-N.
Yeah. So we get that final. So anyway, I like that emotional scene, and it's a lot of growth, I think, for Kara, because she does really, she's going to walk out that door. She's not going to turn around now, you know.
Yes.
You know, and Alex isn't going to be welcome anymore. But, you know, they'll survive. It'll be okay.
They'll.
Speaking of surviving, we know Indigo is definitely going to survive, because Nan is like, I've got this spinny little wheel thingy.
You know what that was?
Yeah, no.
That was the Omega Hedron. That was literally the Omega Hedron from Supergirl the movie.
Oh, I knew it looked familiar.
So like a couple weeks ago, there was another thing that kind of looked like it. And I was like, oh, that kind of looks like the Omega Hedron. But I was like, you know what? I don't think that's it.
Yes,
but
I remember
this was actually
that, yeah.
It.
This was the actual.
This was literally it. Like, it looks exactly the same as the one from the movie. So this is the Omega Hedron.
That's very fun.
Very cool. Very cool little reference. So we had Kellex. We had Kal-El's ship. We had the Legion Ring. We had the Omega Hedron. We had a few things like that. We had the key to the fortress. We had all these cool references to things we know from the comics.
Well, I mean, the Omega Hedron is like, it can create, so it's like Green Lantern's ring without the lantern.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, or something like
that.
It's
this like power source that's like all powerful, kind of mystical. And
yeah, or like a cosmic cube or...
Cosmic cube's good, yeah.
Or the Tesseract, if you don't read the comics, the Tesseract from the Avengers is the Cosmic Cube. It's the same thing. Because it's a cube. There's no Supergirl next week.
There's no Supergirl next week or the following week.
Right.
We're back on Monday, March 14th.
Right.
With new Supergirl. So we didn't get a preview.
Right.
But fun things are said to be in store.
Fun things are happening.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see them happen.
Me too. And in the meantime, we've got more of the Adventures of Supergirl comic from Sterling Gates coming out every other Monday. Mm-hmm. So got that to tide us over. So yeah.
Indeed.
Good stuff indeed. Any final thoughts? You want to do the Cat Grant quote of the week? What was yours?
My Cat Grant quote of the week. I had two, and I actually said the ones that I was like, oh, maybe that would be one.
Sure.
And I said them in the episode, but I landed on, don't call me ma'am, this isn't the Old West. That was the one that I
That was mine
on.
Too, but...
Oh, was it really?
That was mine too, but hold on, because there was a second part, and that's what really made it for me. First, never call me ma'am, this is not the Old West. And second, circle the wagons.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made it for me.
Yep. Oh, man.
We have the same Cat Grant quote of the week almost every week.
I know. That's because it's the best line.
There's usually a standout, but this was a tough choice this week.
But I mean, that Anthrax line really...
Anthrax, Toy Man Jr., there were some good ones.
There was a lot this week. She had a lot to play on. So I have a review here.
Oh, of the iTunes variety?
Of the iTunes variety. And it actually, there's a question in here for us. And so, which ties to the Legion, and that's why I wanted to read this one. There are other reviews on here that I will read in the coming weeks, and so stay tuned, other people, but this one is a little topical. So this is from the Rhymesmith. It says, super fun, 5 stars. This is a spectacular podcast. This show is almost as epic and funny as the real series. Thank you for introducing me to Supergirl TV. Great site. Question: what do you think about the Legion of Superheroes rumors going around? Do you think they will appear on Supergirl, if at all, considering the ring we saw in the Speed Cannon, along with a flash of the girl in blue herself, which we already talked about in this episode? And who would you cast as Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl if it were up to you? Great work, guys. Ooh. Keep it up. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I
really should have read that. I should have prepped you.
You should have given me some prep time for this. Okay, I do think, we said before, I do think that we will see the Legion in this show. If we see them anywhere in this Berlantiverse, I think it'll be here. As for who should be Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl, I don't know. That is... I would like to see a Lightning Lad. I can give you the type. I would say like a James Franco type for Lightning Lad. Someone a little bit smug, but like somebody who's still young but too big for his britches.
So Melissa Benoist's husband,
Blake Jenner.
He was my first thought. I said Blake Jenner would make a good Lightning Lad.
He could actually.
Yeah,
that's not quite like the type I was thinking, but in a different direction. Yeah, he could make a good Lightning Lad.
And that, I don't know if that's my answer, because he's already been on the show, and so that would be strange.
Going
that direction. But he was the first thing that really popped my head.
How about Allison Mack for Saturn Girl?
Actually,
wouldn't that be good?
I'm 100% on board with Allison Mack for Girl. Saturn Girl. Yep, I knew that wasn't right when I said it. Because she was the one I had a hard time placing. Because whenever we get questions like this, I never want to be like, oh, I'd cast Henry Cavill.
Yeah, sure.
Because
Jennifer Lawrence,
right? Right, because they'll never come and they'd be never on, do it. Right. Yeah. It's not their style. It's not what they do. It's not the area of entertainment that they work in. So I try to think of like what are people in this industry that I think should be here. And yeah, those are.
I think that'd be fun.
That's a lot of fun.
That'd be a fun combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you guys think? Do you guys have like a dream casting for if we ever see Legion on the show, what they would look like? Let us know. Yeah. Email us. But thank you for the review. Thank you for the kind words in the review. You can always leave us 5-star reviews. We love those.
I think there's one last sentence that I missed out.
Okay.
Oh, great
do.
Work, guys. Keep it up. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. But thank you. We really do. Really do appreciate it. Those help us a lot, and they mean a lot to us. Thanks a lot. You can leave us reviews on iTunes, on Overcast, on Stitcher Radio, on the Satchel Player. All these great places where you can leave us reviews or give us ratings. And those mean a lot to us. So please do continue to do that, and just tell your friends about us too. Find us at TV Supergirl on Twitter or SupergirlTVTalk .com or at gmail.com. Those are the main places to find us. And you can find us individually. I'm Frank Ramblings. Tim is Timp_Gannon. And we've also got Beer with Geeks and Legends TV Talk. Those are our two other podcasts where you can find us quite often. So check those out and check us out. And be sure to let us know your thoughts on future episodes of Supergirl. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the next episode. But until then, up, up, and away.